Where's Dale Tim? He's in Central Oregon. Because it's the DA's conference.
Ingrid just cheered.
Put that on the record. The Ingrid laughed when I said, where was Dale Tim? Which one? Let's do 2394 first. And we are in which section? Ingrid. This is a bill that I noticed when it was in Ways and Means, and I had concerns because it allows for an enhanced penalty, not when you've been convicted, but when you've been charged in three instances. And so that part of it concerned me, and point that out to the committee that's on page 2, at lines 17 through 21, on page 3, on lines 28 through 32, and then on page 4 at lines 12 and 16. And then it creates a new crime in section 5 that I didn't know that if we needed or what it meant. I had to
take it out.
That's the taking out.
Yeah, on the B version.
Okay. Good. That was too bad you people are missing that. It was the crime of unauthorized departure. That to me might sound like something that happened maybe at an airport.
Actually, maybe that's a crime that could be relevant in the Capitol today.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I think that's naughty.
That like the crime of prohibited acts.
Yeah. Well, Ingrid, what do you want to say about this bill?
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Ingrid Clinton from the Defense Lawyers Association. If I may, I would like to make a number of comments about this bill, because what it does is take conduct which is now not, in some cases, even felony conduct, and elevates it significantly in a number of circumstances. It deals with two kinds of acts. One is driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs, and the other is eluding a police officer. And it deals with injuries and deaths that are caused while a person is doing one of those. Currently, there are three ways of committing murder in Oregon. Intentional murder, where you intend to kill somebody. Felony murder, which is a homicide that occurs during the course of one of the listed felonies, such as arson, robbery, and rape. And then murder by abuse. So those are the three ways of committing murder. This bill would add two new kinds of murder. One would be a form of felony murder, and the other would be just a homicide that occurs during a driving under the influence episode. Let me talk first about the elude, if I may. Under this bill, what would happen is if a person had in the past been convicted of eluding a police officer in a vehicle, driving, trying to get away in a vehicle, and then on a later occasion, the person eluded a police officer, even if the car stopped and the person got out, and then after getting out of the vehicle, on foot, running away from the police officer, caused a homicide, caused a death, that would be murder under this statute. It also includes cases where the person is still driving the vehicle and is trying to get away. So you have this situation where what amounts to a misdemeanor under current law, which is fleeing a police officer on foot after having gotten out of the vehicle, causes you now to commit murder. And of course, there's a death involved. And you try to think of what the circumstances might be where you could kill somebody on foot. And I suppose one instance would be where you ran into traffic, caused another driver to swerve because you were in his or her path, and that person either injured and killed another person or was themselves.
What about the police officer pursuing you in a car, sees you fleeing on foot, and accidentally runs over somebody?
Yes. That could, causation is all that's required, and it requires at least criminal negligence.
You could be charged with murder.
So you have two sets of situations. One is, and the other way you could commit it is if you are eluding police officers, either on foot or in a vehicle, and you are fleeing during the commission of or after the commission of a felony. doesn't say which felony. So it could be driving while suspended or revoked. Say you see a police officer chasing you, you have no license, you decide, oh my goodness, I don't want to get caught for this, and you take off. And then you stop your car and get out and run, and someone dies as a consequence. That would be murder. That's a 25-year minimum sentence. It's not aggravated murder, and it can't be aggravated murder, so there's no death penalty unless you intended to kill somebody. You need at least that level of...
Was the intent of this bill just to add an enhanced penalty if something happened while you were eluding or you had eluded before?
I'm not sure, Mr. Chair, and I can't really speak for the proponents. I did hear some of the testimony on the House side, and I think this came out of a work group, if I'm not incorrect, of public safety folks who obviously have a perception that there's a need to deal more harshly with homicides that occur during these circumstances. For the most part, it is police officers chasing people probably that results in more deaths. If those people weren't fleeing, they wouldn't happen. But very often, the death is actually...
What if we add... the language, the person, while still in a vehicle, knowing fleeing or attempts to elude, as pursuing police officers. And you could do that in line 2, on page 2, after the site of ORS 811.540.
Mr. Chair, you could accomplish what I think it is you want to by adding 1BA in line 1, so that... The current offense would require you to be in the vehicle and eluding while in the vehicle.
And that's what happens. I've got the wrong edition.
Oh, okay.
So I'm aligning.
Well, maybe I have the wrong edition. I'm sorry. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Are you reading of this law, this bill, if the person were eluding and then there's a shootout or whatever and one of the policeman's bullets kills somebody, would this person still be subject to murder?
Mr. Chair, I'm just trying to say it has to be caused by the homicide has to be committed.
I read caused by.
Causes the death. The person causes the death. Mm-hmm. It would be pretty indirect cause. Criminal causation is a little tighter than civil causation. I mean, it is required that there be a direct cause-effect relationship. It certainly, I think there would be other F intervening, but I don't know. It's possible.
What do you think?
Sorry, Ms. Taylor.
Could you repeat the question?
if the person is eluding a police officer and they get in a shootout and one of the police officer's bullets kills somebody, then is the person here subject to the enhanced penalty?
I think they would,
Mr. Chairman. To me, I know there have been cases where they have been charged, not in Oregon, but at least other jurisdictions where people have been convicted of homicide in those cases.
Even though it wasn't homicide. Their gun.
Right. It's within the realm of possibility. Even.
Other comments?
Yes, I may. Moving on to the homicide committed while a person is driving under the influence of alcohol, this would be a fourth category of murder. It's not felony murder. DUII isn't a felony. If this creates a separate category of murder,
could it be criminal negligent homicide?
Which currently would be treated, under current law, it would be treated as criminally negligent homicide. If you, while in the course of driving under the influence of alcohol, do something that's criminally negligent and cause death, that is criminally negligent homicide. It can also be manslaughter. If your conduct is reckless, or if it's reckless with extreme indifference to the value of human life, then it can be manslaughter in the first degree. But it never amounts to murder without an intention to kill. So that's the significant elevation. It's not just any DUII, though. You have to have either been convicted of DUII in the past or been diverted or currently be in a diversion program, whether or not you're guilty, because you don't pay for a plea or you're not convicted prior to diversion. And then thirdly...
I think you have a question.
Actually, I was, but I haven't raised my hand, but I do have a question, so maybe the best of it, the witness, Ingrid. I hate to think about the lady.
I'll just finish one thought, and then the third thing is, if you failed to appear and a charge is pending against you somewhere, even though you might ultimately be acquitted of that charge, simply having failed to appear is treated as a prior for purposes of elevating what would be criminally negligent homicide to murder. Mm. And just to remind you what the penalties are, criminally negligent homicide is a C felony. I don't know where it is in the record here, that I'm trying to say. But manslaughter was material plus a major offense. So we're talking about 75 months and 120 months.
Chair members of the committee, I spoke a little while ago with Keith Meisenheimer in the Multnomah DA's office, who was involved in this bill on the House side, and we spoke about this issue in particular. One of the things that we talked about, and I talked to Ingrid Swenson about too, is there's another bill that would make fourth-time DUI a felony, and I think that's proceeding through the chambers, and we talked about tying the bill to that so that you had someone who's already had four DUI convictions, one of them being a felony, and then subsequently was driving under the influence and kill someone, then it would be murder.
Okay. I had some comments about the other offenses as well, Mr. Chair. Section 2 of the bill deals with assault in the first degree. And I didn't mention, and perhaps you did notice, that there is an exception in the DUII cases where the passenger is at least 18 years of age, was voluntarily in the vehicle, had reasonable grounds to be aware that the driver was intoxicated, and that's the person's kill. That creates an affirmative. With respect to the assault and the first degree, the elements would be you have to cause serious physical injury. And in Oregon, that is very serious physical injury. In most cases, it has to be permanent loss of function of some bodily organ or permanent disfigurement or substantial risk of death. So you have to cause that. And it's in the course of eluding again. And then you have to have one of these tries. But again, the mental element under this measure, if it were to pass, would be criminal negligence. So currently, to commit assault in the first degree, you have to intend serious physical injury and cause it with a dangerous or deadly weapon. You don't get down, there aren't assaults that are criminally negligent assaults in the statute. They all require immediate weapon. At least a disregard of a known risk.
Okay.
So this would be one of the few cases where criminal negligence is a sufficient mental state for any kind of assault, but instead of assault four, assault three, it would be assault first degree. And it does the same thing then with respect to assault two. So both of these categories of offenses, assaults that occur during the, or injuries that occur during the course of an effort to elude the police, or driving under the influence of alcohol. The Section 3 offense, which is assault in the second degree, we're only talking about physical injury here. So, physical injury is any injury up to some level of serious physical injury. But it also goes way down to the point where we're talking about a headache or significant pain or a cut or something like that can be physical injury. So the most extreme case I can imagine would be where a person...
Here, I'm going to have to stop you. There's a call, so we'll be in recess and all things through the past. We're trying to do the
still feel better. The same thing happened to me in my floor seat today.
That was much more better.
Ingrid? Do you have any suggestions of the Charter Amendments? Russ, are you following this bill? Are you following this bill? Okay. Intro Morphy?
We're back. And I understand we have a conceptual amendment, Mr. Taylor, if you could explain that to us.
I would hope that David Clinton would come back into the room. But in your absence, what we were talking about is going on page 2 of the Beat and Growth Bill, and which is key. Fleeing or attempting to elude a police officer is defined in ORS 811-540, adding one small BA, so that would be just remaining in a motor vehicle, not on foot. And then, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what we talked about was, as it relates to all those charges, what would happen now, you would probably have probably criminal numbers in homicide and manslaughter, and two of the manslaughter one, depending on the amount of state. What we talked about was, if you have these facts here, and you had someone kill someone, you, instead of charging, for example, because of the mental state of coming under the homicide, you would be charging with manslaughter too. So we're talking about bumping the level of the offense up because of the conditions preceding. Also for the assault statute too. And I was talking about it as it relates to driving under the influence. We were talking about that there was a bill going through that was passed. I understand it was passed. That would say fourth time DUI is a felony.
Correct.
So the increased penalties would come there if you had a felony DUI as opposed to misdemeanor DUI. So that would probably be, that could be in the fourth offense. So if you kill someone on your fourth offense, it would bump up the penalty, say, for manslaughter to would be reckless conduct to for manslaughter, and then would cyanide was slightly higher.
Yeah, I have no trouble doing that on your fourth conviction
of a DUI. If you kill someone now on your first DUI, it could be coming under
right.
homicide or manslaughter, depending on the fact.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I thought it was updating to murder. So it's murder for eluding, and then just help me out here.
Why don't we do this? This one's got to go back to LC, mm-hmm. and then we'll get it printed up and cleaned. And I think it'll be easier to read and understand than have this discussion without it.
Could we come back and hate to say this Monday afternoon or Tuesday?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Or, if we're still here, if we go.
We'll be here.
Or next the following week.
I question the eluding part. Is that in the law now, or are we dealing?
There's an eluding statute now.
Right now?
Yes.
Huh? Yeah. Sure. Yep. But the sheriff is chasing you.
We just shoot him.
It's easier that way, isn't it?
But then they get charged with murder.
No, not there.
Not in Oregon. Not in Oregon.
I got a badge, man.
I know. Okay.
All right.
Just
thank you. We'll close the work session then on this particular bill, and we'll go to a work session on House Bill 3110. This also comes from Ways and Means. And Phil, were you able to talk to a DA or the Oregon State Police? So tell us your idea of how to fix this. And first of all, why don't you briefly explain what the bill does with the new amendment, and then what the problem is.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Phil Lemon from the Criminal Justice Commission. House Bill 3110B attempts to incrementally increase the sentences for manufacture of substantial quantities of methamphetamine. The bill started out having a 10-year mandatory minimum sentence for what is now ranked as a Category 8 offense on the guidelines. On the House side, there's also a technical fix that was done on the House side to try to capture not only the methamphetamine that was produced in the manufacture process, but also to catch the byproducts, so that there are the language about salts and isomers of the salts that occur in the production process. And in Ways and Means, when this bill was modified, that they, instead of the salt and isomers language, included the amphetamine language that you see on page 1, line 7, and then throughout section 2. The fiscal impact that we've prepared was based on the language of section 1, and it will be substantially higher if the amphetamine stays in section 2, primarily because we were looking at manufacture of amphetamine, which is fairly rare in Oregon. A standard bill deals with delivery of amphetamine in Oregon.
Mr. Chair.
That is not rare.
says Senator Tarno?
Amphetamine is not necessarily rare in Oregon, since methamphetamine is a derivative from amphetamine.
Mr. Sheriff, Senator, it's the manufacturer that is. You don't find many amphetamine labs in Oregon. You do find a lot of methamphetamine labs.
Okay.
And so as long as we're limiting our discussion to manufacturer, the fiscal of including amphetamine is very narrow. But when you get into delivery, then you're talking about a whole another category of cases. So that was the concern that we discussed with the chair. I think, and I haven't discussed this with the crime lab, and there's nobody from ODA present today, but one approach might be on page 1, line 7, to delete as described in ORS 475-996, and then delete section 2. And what that does is just get us back to the manufacturer aspect and deal with substantial quantities there. And then instead of what section 1 does, is just create a higher legal standard for criminal justice practitioners to have to meet in order to get a probation sentence for that level of manufacturer.
So the conceptual amendment would be on line 7 to delete the phrase as described in ORS 475.996 and then delete the remainder of section 2 of the bill, correct?
Yes.
All right.
And I think what that would do would be to get back to the original intent, which is to increase sentences for manufacture of substantial quantities of methamphetamine and the byproduct in the meth manufacture process.
And amphetamine is a byproduct of methamphetamine manufacture, or what?
Mr. Chair, it can be. There are different chemical processes used, and sometimes amphetamines are used as a precursor in the production of amphetamine. That's not always the case, but I wish someone from the crime lab were here because they'd be able to give you a more knowledgeable description. But that's my understanding of why amphetamine is included in the plant.
Earl, does this make sense to you?
It kind of does, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if substantial is the 10 or more grams that constitutes substantial.
Of methamphetamine,
however. Right. And that's defined somewhere what substantial quantities are.
Mr. Chair, that is in 470, but that's on page 1, line 18, 17 and 18.
Okay.
And right now, manufacture of amphetamine is a Category 4 offense on the guidelines, whereas the same amount of methamphetamine is a Category 8. But because we don't see a lot of amphetamine manufacture, that's not a fiscal problem. The fiscal problem is including its increase in the delivery of amphetamine.
Gotcha. Yes,
Chairman of the Committee, so I'm trying to read 475-996 as we talk, because that, I think, is either describing methamphetamines or probably amphetamines at the same time. Yet you're proposing to take that out, just as described. And isn't that your suggestion on line 7 on page 1? After, and you just...
Kathy, would you like to stay up here if you have words of wisdom to add?
I think if, Mr. Chair, Counsel, I think if you can leave, my understanding is the reason amphetamine is put in section 2 is because of the as described in 475-996. And I don't think that's necessary to have that statutory reference in there for the commission to be able to change the rule to restrict optional probation in these cases.
Gotcha. So that's what we're doing. We're going to allow you to change the rule to affect option probation.
For manufacturer only.
For manufacturer only. Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, I guess my concern is, why would I even want to do this? Because I'd prefer to let the judge make the decision. Well, I'm not excited about mandatory sentencing,
right,
anyhow.
Probably, and I'm just surmising here, from the way the bill started out, the way you described it here today, this is a substantial compromise.
Mr. Chair, this is an incremental step. The bill started out with a 10-year mandatory minimum sentence. What this does, again, is just increase the legal standard that a judge would have to find in order to go from a presumptive prison sentence to a probation sentence. Right now, these people, that the judge can impose a probation sentence if the judge finds the treatment is available and the offender can get in a reasonable amount of time, and that the treatment is going to be more effective in preventing recidivism than a prison sentence. The normal legal standard is for a substantial and compelling reason. So this is just, the Section 1 language is just an incremental change that we don't expect to affect more than a handful of people and give them 16 to 19 months prison time.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Would judges like this?
I don't know. It would affect so few people.
I'm just having trouble seeing, a judge can make a decision now, can get probation if they want to, or not. It's up to them.
Mr. Chair?
I'm satisfied with that kind of a procedure. I would probably do that with more things. I know the law is different.
But isn't the optional probation, isn't it aimed at providing drug treatment for people? I mean, they can get out of the prison thing if they go into drug treatment.
Mr. Chair, it's under verdict, yes. If it's a lesser legal standard to get from what otherwise would be a prison sentence to a treatment situation.
Right. And isn't it true that many of the people who manufacture, this is aimed at manufacturers of methamphetamines, right? That maybe they're in it for the money rather than users who are in it for, is that what?
Mr. Chair, Senator Briggs, my understanding is that most of the people subject to this bill are users as well as manufacturers.
Mm-hmm. But it's the manufacturing that's causing the bigger crime and not the fact that they're using.
Correct. The manufacturers, the higher level offense.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with this.
Yeah.
Mr. Lennon, it says from being it would prohibit them from being eligible for optional probation sentence. Chairman of the Committee, Mr. Lennon, I understand that optional probation sentence would also include the possibility, if not the probability, of jail time. Is that correct?
I'm not sure I understood you.
Okay. If we take this away from the judges, does this mean that it's a sentence to prison as opposed to a possible sentence to jail?
Well, the judge has the same option. It's just that a slightly higher legal standard to go to probation, whether there's a jail time attached to the condition of probation or not. So instead of making the free findings about treatment available and more likely to prevent recidivism and promoting offender reformation, you now would have to find a substantial and compelling reason. And that is just one step up in terms of the legal finding that would be required. That's the standard that every judge has to follow in order to increase a sentence or decrease a sentence under the sentencing guidelines.
Mr. Chair, if I could follow up.
Yes.
So under current law, could you compare what the maximum sentence a judge could give now as opposed to what the maximum sentence a judge could give if this bill were adopted?
There would be no change.
No change. Thank you.
All we're doing is changing the mechanism to get here by air.
Yes.
It doesn't do anything.
So, you know,
well, it does something now if we don't change it. If it doesn't pass, it does nothing. So, when it came out of Ways and Means, I was concerned about it, and that's why we have it before us. So.
Chair?
Yes.
I think that it was the question I addressed to Mr. Lennon was concerning Section 1 of the bill and asking if this were adopted, how it would differ, the maximum sentence a judge could give under the current law or under Section 1 of the bill if adopted, and Mr. Lennon said it would be the same. But it was not addressed to the rest of the bill. So
if he adopts these amendments, Phil, what's the impact? What happened?
I believe we estimated there'd be about a dozen people per year who would get a 16 to 19 month prison sentence instead of probation. So it's a relatively, it's an incremental step up for penalties for manufacturing substantial quantities of methamphetamine.
Right.
On the House side, the interest was in increasing penalties for that group of people, and so this was the.
And it also still gives basically the same flexibility to the judges.
Same amount of discretion, except with a slightly different legal standard.
Okay. Thank you. Ingrid, did you want to add anything? Thank you. Senator Tardo then moves the following conceptual amendment to House Bill 3110, on line 7, deleting the phrase as described in ORA 475.996 and deleting all of section 2 beginning at line 9 and continuing on page 2 and 3. Discussion concerning the conceptual amendment.
Section 3 remains.
Section 3 would remain. Hearing none, any objection, hearing none, the conceptual amendment is adopted. The Ricardo amendment is House Bill 3110 as conceptually amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion. Objection. Or Senator Charnel, would you carry? With that, we'll be adjourned, and we'll come back with an amendment to draft another bill, and we might have another bill or two, depending on what Ways and Means sends up in a few days.
Well, it's fun to get together every night.
Yeah, it is. Good to be back. we need Saturday. The Senate needs Saturday. No, you don't need to have staff. Staff take the weekend off.
Thanks.
Can I tell it for you?
Yeah. At 4 o'clock, Bill, what room are we in?
I don't know. But I think C.
Okay.
Is it C? The conference committee?
I thought it was 357.
Oh, 357, Neil.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, do you want to come down with me to the legislative counsel's office? Well, actually, Jenny knows this stuff fairly well. She'll probably come up with a fairly quick solution that you and I didn't think of, you know? Okay. Well, I can see you down there, too. Thank you.